recording this phone call will be up on the website following this, probably sometime later today or early tomorrow. So with that, what I might ask, if he's ready and available, is I might ask Derek Dapp, our Chinook modeler, to kind of go through some of the modeling that was done down in California, bring us up to speed about what that may mean for Puget Sound fisheries, some of the thoughts that are going to be constraining for us this year. So go ahead, Derek.
Thanks, Mark. And I might start off by just a description of what we're looking at in the model runs. Mark had mentioned that we're looking at last year's fisheries for Puget Sound, but descriptors of kind of other fisheries and what we have going into these initial model runs. So as far as Chinook for forecasts go, as far as forecasts go, we have all of our forecasts for all the West Coast stocks in the model, with the exception of Canadian stocks and Oregon coastal stocks. And those will be in the model shortly, but for right now, we're representing those stocks with their 2019 abundance. As far as fisheries go, as Mark had mentioned, for Puget Sound, we're using fisheries that occur as in 2019. For northern fisheries, we have all the northern fisheries in there with the exception, all the northern fisheries for 2020 in the model, with the exception of West Coast Vancouver Island Troll and Sport and Northern Central BC Troll and Sport. Right now, those fisheries are represented by their 2019 values, and we'll have those in the model shortly. And, of course, the coastal fisheries are represented by the ocean options coming out of the Pacific Fishery Management Council process. So just to walk through where we're at on focusing specifically on Puget Sound stocks, I won't go into every single stock. However, if folks are interested, there's modeling outputs and results available on the website, as Mark had mentioned. I will go through kind of four of the key stocks that we're looking at here and probably will be discussing today. First one of those being Skagit Springs. Skagit Springs, we have an exploitation rate objective that is a southern exploitation rate objective of 10.3%. And looking at our highest ocean option currently for that stock, we're modeling that we're at 23.6%, so considerably above that 10.3% objective. Moving down the list, so another stock of concern is still at Guamish, and there are a few different categories for which we're mapping that stock to. A 22% total rate on the unmarked, an 8% SUS rate on the unmarked, a 12% marked SUS rate, and of those three objectives that we have in the highest ocean option, we're currently not meeting our marked SUS objective. We're at 15.7% with a 12% objective rate. Moving down the list for Snohomish, we're managing to a 19% total exploitation rate and an 8% SUS exploitation rate. We're above a little bit on both. We're at 22.3% on the total, and we're at 9.7% on the SUS. Again, that's in the high ocean option run. The last stock I might highlight is Midland Canal, with which we're currently negotiating a management objective with the co-managers, and it's going to be a pre-terminal SUS rate, although we don't know exactly what that final rate will be. I'm sure we'll hear more about it in future meetings. We're currently at 14.4% in the pre-terminal SUS. And so our initial understanding of the model runs is that what will probably be our more limiting stocks this year will be Stillaguamish and Midland Canal, although, once again, do pay attention to those Skagit Springs and Snohomish fish as we go throughout this process. Any questions about the initial modeling?
Folks are having a lot of trouble getting through on the lines, initial go-through of the modeling. I think, as Derek said, one of the things that we're looking at is likely to be very constraining for our fisheries this year. First of all, is the Snohomish coho stock. That's one where we have both a 10% exploitation rate cap as well as a 50,000 coho escapement goal. And I think Derek talked about this, the initial modeling and the forecast right out the gate this year for those Snohomish coho was well below the 50,000. I think the preseason forecast was about 39,000. And with the initial modeling coming out of the ocean, it takes that escapement down to about 29,000. So obviously that'll likely be limiting for coho opportunities, at least in the near terminal, in the river, 8-1 and 8-2 likely. Depending on what that looks like after modeling, we may have to consider further reductions in some of the other pre-terminal fisheries in 5, 6, and 9. We'll just have to wait and see how that modeling bears itself out. As far as Chinook stocks, Derek talked about through the Mid-Hood Canal stock. That is one where we see that in little bits all throughout Puget Sound. It's not a stock that is found in very significant numbers in a lot of different, or in one particular marine area. It's actually found in a lot of little bits in a lot of marine areas. So it's one of those where if we have a big chunk of exploitation rate that we need to try to meet, it starts to become very difficult to try to craft fisheries packages that are similar to last year if we need to make further reductions. The other one that I'll speak to is the Stiligwamish stock. Although it looks like we're doing pretty good on the unmarked exploitation rate, we do have an agreement for a 12% cap on the marked part of that stock, and that's at a 12% cap, and currently I think we're at 15.7 on that marked cap. So that is one that we're looking very significantly at what that may mean. We've done some looks at in the model as to where that stock's found in great numbers. Obviously, for folks who remember last year, a good proportion of that stock is found in both winter and summer fisheries in Area 7, as well as Areas 5 and 6 in both the summer and winter fisheries, and to a lesser extent, but similar in Area 9 in the summer. Stiligwamish is not found in very much in ocean fisheries, so even if there was, more towards the middle ocean option, it wouldn't do very much for Stiligwamish stock on the inside. Now, that's different for the Mid-Hood Canal stock. There is quite a bit of Mid-Hood Canal stock found in ocean fisheries, so depending on what that number is coming out of the ocean fisheries, that could have significant effects on how much we're trying to shave or save on the inside fishery for Mid-Hood Canal. So with that little bit of extra, I might just open it back up. Is there any comments or questions on the phone regarding anything that we've talked about so far for Puget Sound fisheries?
Mark, this is Pat Patillo.
Hi, Pat Patillo.
I wanted to see if I could zero in on an objective for the Stiligwamish hatchery component, that stock, for a reduction. You're looking at a total reduction compared to last year, which was 10.9%. This year, it's somewhere in the vicinity of 3.5 points higher than that. I think that's correct, just across the average of those model runs. What would you say to building a proposal that would cut that in half, that difference in half? So target for approximately 2% reduction compared to last year's season.
Thanks, Pat. And you know, I think we're really willing to consider anything at this point. We did have an advisor meeting last Friday, and Pat knows this, that we talked through with our advisory group about what might be our initial modeling proposal for this year. Here at the department, we kind of felt like we might be centering on something similar to 2019 or maybe even 2018. Obviously, we understand that fishing in Area 7 is really important to a good number of our fishing constituents. We would like to try to add some time back in there in August if we can make that happen. So I think in general, Pat, I like your idea. I think our initial thoughts were we didn't want to come out of the gate making big decreases in our fishery, given the volatility that's within the potential seasons out of the ocean. There have been some increases in tribal inputs for fisheries this year. So I think we're really just looking to try to strike a balance, trying to make sure that everybody gets some fishing opportunity and trying not to have our cuts be too painful, obviously. So. But I just to maybe directly answer your question, Pat, I think once we, you know, it's figured out how much we do need to go down that road, trying not to fix it all at once, I think, is a good approach. If we can try to get some sort of agreement incrementally, that would be better, more beneficial for us.
Mark, thanks a lot for that. And as far as a specific season goes, I really think that if it's possible to keep the structure of fisheries, you already remarked about Area 7. Of course, it has the highest concentration of Snowy-Guamish unmarked or marked in the area. But I think we want to try to keep things whole. I mean, I'll just leave it at my preference would be to retain the structure of our seasons as much as possible. So across the board reductions, I feel, is a better solution than singling a particular area out. I think this addresses the diversity of fisheries in Puget Sound, and including north and south, east and west, etc., and also winter versus summer. There's values in having winter fishery, even though you may not have the number of anglers involved. It certainly is valuable, particularly to the communities there. And so I'll leave it at that. Maintaining the structure of the season seems like a smart play in trying to find an address to these conservation issues.
Thank you, Pat. People are getting onto the call. I want to apologize for anybody who's late getting on and having problems with the phone line this morning. Obviously, this is a new system that we're going to. Hopefully, it's not the only thing we're going to try. We're hoping that we have some new software, some meeting management software coming online that may make this process a little easier and a little more seamless going forward, where we can have online interactions. So I'll just acknowledge that here, that we do have late arrivals on the phone. We have gone through some of the initial modeling from California. We've had a couple comments here, but I am, just so everybody on the phone knows, we are welcoming questions and comments about Puget Sound fisheries. So I guess with that, I'll open it up again if anybody has any questions or comments related to any of the modeling that came out of California or any of the desired fishing outcomes for this year. We'd be happy to entertain those.
Yeah, this is David McCraney. Can you give us a summary of the status of the discussion between the tribes in the state over Mid-Hood Canal?
Good morning, David. Ron Warren. We are in the middle of a quite long series of meetings with the affected tribes in Mid-Hood Canal. We initiated what's called a meet and confer process a few weeks back and have continued that to allow some additional conversations to occur. Our most recent meeting was last Friday. Have another meeting this afternoon, and then we meet with all the tribes on Wednesday as our North Falcon 1 meeting with the tribes, where we'll report out what our status is, either if it's resolved or if it's not. And then we've also got a formal meet and confer reinitiation for Friday, the 20th. So several meetings scheduled for this week on that topic. And we continue to be at a difference between the 12%, which has been a historical exploitation rate used, versus the 12.4% that the agency has requested. So thanks for asking. That's about all I have on the topic right now, but hope to have more information later in the week.
Thanks, Ron.
You bet.
Although our public meeting schedule has been kind of thrown up in the air a little bit due to the COVID-19 virus, that also is the same for our co-manager meeting. We don't necessarily have finality about what our plan is for this week, other than most tribes are not doing face-to-face in-person meetings. So once again, we're trying to find solutions on the fly to ensure that we can engage all of our co-managers and try to get through this process. Obviously, it's incumbent upon all of us to try to get through the issues this year, and it just adds a little layer of complexity as we try to work through this, not having face-to-face discussions in person, but rather over the various technology and tools that are available to us. So. I think we're hopeful that as we work through those this week, that we'll be able to get some initial Puget Sound modeling done that we can share with folks. Obviously, I would encourage folks to check the website often for any updates. We'll also try to get word out via our advisors and other folks when we do have some of those results available that we can share. So just keep an eye out for that, and please, again, I'll encourage everybody to check the website for updates for different things as we go forward here. Any other questions, comments from the phone line out there? Yeah, before you go ahead, can I ask anybody, if you're not speaking or not on the line, can you mute your phone? We're getting a lot of background noise, and it's really distracting for the rest of the people on the call. Thank you.
Hi, this is George. I guess I'll go ahead with my question. So I heard Ron's voice. Hi, Ron. Early on, when the new Puget Sound Management Plan came up, we were very concerned about the new exploitation rate on the Stillaguamish conservation fish. And I just want to know how the department thinks that new exploitation rate is going to or could impact our Puget Sound marked selective fisheries for this season or going forward.
So, George, thanks for the question. I'm not sure that I have a good could look into the crystal ball, as I haven't looked at a lot of the modeling that could occur, or the information that you could, that all of us could look at to try to pick a pathway to see what reductions might look like. It certainly, if it stands, it could be very impactful relative to the fisheries that we might have to reduce. But we've got a long ways to go here in the next month, and so I'm not positive where we're going to end. We have had some initial conversations with Stella Guamish and Tulalip Tribe about holding firm or not holding firm to that number. I'll be candid that they're very firm about that number, but we have to have those conversations. Although we thought it could happen with what I'll call a volatility of age composition within the Stella Guamish group, we thought it could happen. Certainly didn't see it coming this quickly, so we're trying to understand it the best we can so that we can strategize conversations with Stella Guamish and Tulalip Tribe. So keep you posted. But any reductions that we take off recent years, George, you know, is not where we want to go. The flip side of that is that the hatchery marked fish are the only fish within the system that are replacing themselves. They are a conservation group. They are used in a so they're used for analysis within CTC through the Pacific Salmon Treaty implementation. All that being said, I don't. If we were to flip that off completely, then not enough of those fish are returning, and I can't say that that would occur. What I don't want is us to get to being in the middle of a five-year review process with NOAA that we go endangered on one of the stocks within Puget Sound, which even more certainly curtails our fisheries and how they would and where they would occur. I don't want that either. So we're looking at every possible avenue, and as we see a foggy or a little bit clearer picture, we'll make sure and share that as we go through the process.
All right. I think just, you know, for the record, and I've shared this with the department, you all, numerous times, but I think WDFW should be really, really proud of the marked selective fishery it's developed over the last 20 years or more in Puget Sound. And I just don't see the need for this new exploitation rate on those hatchery fish. And it completely, as I've always said, turns marked selective fishing upside down in Puget Sound and handcuffs the department. And if there's any way that the department could get that removed from the management plan, I would strongly urge you, the department, to look into that, because I'm really concerned about the impact it could have on our conservation-based marked selective fishing in Puget Sound. So, thank you.
Yep, thank you, George. And I know that, well, I hope it goes without saying that everybody here at the department realizes what an important step it was and are very proud of the way our marked selective fisheries are conducted. But we are considering all options at this point in time.
Yeah, this is Carl. I don't know if this microphone even works on this thing. Can you hear me?
Yes, yep. We can, Carl.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, I am really baffled and have been for a year or so now on how the management of a hatchery stock could be a conservation objective related to wild fish conservation. It I don't even understand how it could happen, as it clearly meant not just to recover killed Duwamish fish, but it has a secondary tool of being used as an attack on our selective fishing program. And there's got to be a way out. You guys have got to put your heads together and find a way out of that.
This is Ron. Thanks for that. I get what you're saying. I got what George is saying. We have grappled with this for the last few years as we've talked through what the Pacific Salmon Treaty annex and modifications have been up north in switching or changing or modifying the annex up there. What's going on with stocks in Puget Sound. And yes, this is a marked group of fish, but a marked group of fish taken from natural spawners intended for a conservation program and marked so that Northern Fisheries monitor that stock and we can determine its migratory pattern and fishery impacts. So that further actions might be taken, whether they're in through the PST future negotiations or actions within Puget Sound on recovery. That's why that is marked. Similarly, we had recovery programs in the Elwha and have started to mark or tag some of those only so we can see distribution and impacts by Northern Fisheries. And without that, we're left making comparative choices on what stock we can compare to. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. Do we continue to look for ways through and around the issue? Absolutely.
Ron, this is Pat Patillo.
Hi, Pat.
Hey. Ron, I wonder if there's on the topic of the Stowe Duwamish MARC program, their PSC indicator stock program, if you have a history of that, then it might be important and valuable for advisors to see those documents, or if there is a summary document of the performance of that over the years. I've heard a few things about it, and I think the source description might be valuable to people. If I think I could find some of those documents, but maybe there's someone at the department that could summarize that and provide it to people, it might be helpful. Thanks.
Hey Pat, this is Derek here. So I think what might be a good idea for folks who are interested, we can distribute the most recent CTC catch and escape reports, as well as probably more relevant the exploitation rate analysis, and that has a history of kind of the Stowe Duwamish indicator stock and what we've been seeing in fisheries across time on that stock. Do you think that would be helpful?
Derek, yes. That's one of the documents that I would have gone to, but the problem with that is that it does provide a description of the program pretty generally, and the most usually has a report. The annual reports have a report of the most recent year, how many fish are taken off the spawning grounds, how many fish are are released, et cetera, but there's not, I wondered if there's a document that the tribe has or that the PST, CTC has that might combine all of that across the years so that you could see the history of how many fish are alive and how many are maybe even some of the documents on how the stock is predicted. How it's forecast. I mean, there's a number of documents out there, but that's definitely one of them, Derek. Thanks.
No worries. Thanks, Pat. Any other comments or questions on the phone regarding wreck fisheries for 2020 in Puget Sound?
Again, since there's a silence, I have to fill the void. No, seriously, I think Coho on that topic. The is there yet a FRAM model that we could see the results of that might represent well current fisheries or something like 2019 that might give us an idea of the impacts on key Puget Sound stocks such as Snohomish and others? If so, I think that might be helpful. I don't think it was available when we had our last conference call.
Yeah, Pat, there is modeling up on the website now. That's from the PFMC modeling. It does kind of show the different impact levels on Puget Sound stocks with last year's Puget Sound fisheries. Again, the big one that's the big red light shining in our face is Snohomish. We're missing the mark on both the exploitation rate and the escapement objective. If I'm remembering right, the exploitation rate was above 20% coming out of those model runs, and our kind of cap would be 10% in the southern U.S. On Snohomish. So, granted, last year's fisheries in Puget Sound, we had a river fishery in there. We had a fishery in 8-1 and 8-2. The tribes had a fishery out in front in the marine area directed at Coho. So I imagine that a number of those, or that exploitation rate on Snohomish will dropped considerably once we plug in some of this year's fisheries. Ron mentioned earlier as part of our conversation that we've had some initial discussions with Stiligwamish and Tulalip about Coho in that area. Obviously, I think we have both short-term and long-term goals, but the long-term one is obvious that we need to get out of this downturn on the wild fish from the Snohomish that we've seen since 2015 and even before. We have not seen a bounce back in that system since 2015, and it's troubling because we have had some good years of out migration and production, but we've seen poor marine survival. So it's hard to say kind of where we'll be after we do some of those initial proposals that I talked about earlier about limiting marine area opportunity and eliminating the river opportunity from kind of some initial modeling. The other one to keep an eye on, probably not as restrictive for this year, but in the high ocean option, Skagit Coho was also above the 35% cap on the exploitation rate. So that's another one to keep an eye on, not knowing where
coho is going to land in the ocean. That would definitely help if there was a lower coho quota in the ocean. But also that's with, tribal fisheries and state fisheries in the river from last year, too, at pretty significant levels. So I imagine with a little bit of fishery shaping, that one could be taken care of as well.
Mark, Pat here. I thank you for that. And I two things. First, I didn't see on the website where the modeling product that you mentioned was, but you can help us out with that perhaps later. Don't need it right now. And then the other is related to that. Is it seems like the sooner that the department made some moves that you think are obvious or very likely to be taken, such as you mentioned Fort Snohomish in the terminal area in the river, that the sooner that we could see what the result is. I think that at the very least you need to be at the state and tribes and need to be addressing a no more than 10% total impact. That would be according to the U.S. share under the Pacific Salmon Commission, the coho management plan, and so logically half of that, 5% for non-treaty fisheries. If you saw something higher than that, then you're certainly needing to look at more cuts. But if you're in that ballpark, maybe it's something that was a credible response, knowing that there's going to be some impact allowed, but it's minimizing the impact and probably maximizing the spawning escapement. There's a comment that I think, Mark, you heard made by a tribal policy representing, saying that they need to maximize the spawning escapement of coho this year for stock like Snohomish. And while that's certainly a noble goal or one of the goals, I think it's obvious that there's going to be some fishery impact. And so the real challenge is finding what minimal allowable level is there. And I think anything over 5% just isn't really a realistic and responsible fishery outcome for this year. So the sooner that you get a first start realistic model run with some of those changes in the terminal area, I think the better we can see where the impacts are in different fisheries and take a look at next steps. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. And I think I may have spoken to this earlier, but I'll go ahead and speak to it again. I think the plan for us, both from the department and as co-managers, is to have some of that initial modeling done this week. I know Chinook, at this point, I can speak to it just because I work with the coho model. At this point, I think Chinook's a little more ready to go with modeling than the coho model is. I think we're still trying to work out some freshwater inputs and kind of narrow down what we're thinking from a marine fishery perspective as an initial proposal. But obviously my goal is to get that stuff done and out there for public consumption. I mean, I don't want to promise, but my goal would be to have it up and viewable and for people to look over and talk about by the end of the week. So we'll make sure that we're communicating both on the web and with advisors about when we get that done and when it's available for everybody to chew on. We're anxious to get that going as well and share it just because we know that's an important part of this process, and having those initial looks really helps guide us about where we need to shape fisheries. Can we entertain any other questions or comments? I'll fill the void this time. I guess we're going to probably go ahead and wrap up this call. I do thank everybody for being on the line. I want to remind folks that the online commenting tool is up and running on the website right now. So folks can go ahead, although we don't have specific fishery proposals in a lot of those slots, those will probably be up by the end of this week as well for folks to comment on. So look for additional modeling. Look for additional fishery season proposals up on the website this week. Also look for updates for future meetings. I believe the March 25th was on the calendar for a recreational, originally supposed to be at Mill Creek in the evening. I believe that's one where we're going to keep as an evening meeting. Hopefully we'll have some other tools to be able to do that meeting on the web. So stay tuned for that stuff, and as always, you know, like I've been reiterating before, check back early and often, and I really, really appreciate everybody's flexibility and time trying to get through this preseason. We'll do our best to communicate as often as possible and get through it so we can actually get fishing seasons in towards early part of April and starting in May. So with that, one last call for questions or comments. Before we hang up?
Hey, yeah, Mark, this is Carl Nyman. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just, you know, a little clarification. You know, we're talking about Snohomish Chinook and how, you know, marine areas are going to be affected. And last I spoke with you, it did not sound like that was going to bleed too much down into Area 10, mostly in Areas 8 and, you know, perhaps 9. Are you still feeling the same way about that?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that was it. I appreciate your time today.
And yeah, apologies from everybody for those who had trouble getting on the call at the beginning. Hopefully that stuff will get figured out. We'll get word over to the state teleconferencing folks. You know, not sure what happened there, but apologies for that as well. So thank you, everybody, and stay safe out there.
Thank you.